The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord. No such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. To put this in a gospel perspective for you, what came right before this gospel in which Jesus begins to speak of his passion and death, and Jesus rebukes him? If we go back to, was it last Sunday? Yeah, so last Sunday. So we have a continuation of last Sunday's gospel in which there's this encounter. Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? And Peter is the first to acknowledge him as Lord. And then Jesus recognizes, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. In other words, Jesus is recognizing that Peter is already being sort of chosen and given gifts by his Father in heaven, and has this knowledge of faith about who Jesus is, and says, you are the rock on which I will build my church, Peter, the rock. Very next thing that happens is after Jesus discusses giving the keys of the kingdom to Peter, he then starts to tell the disciples about how he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And then Peter, who just made this first confession, was just praised, just given the keys to the kingdom, says, oh no, Lord, God forbid that such a thing would happen to you. And then Jesus calls Peter Satan. So Peter's kind of like had an up and down moment here, right? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You are Peter, you are Petra, and on this rock I will build my church. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Get behind me, Satan. This is the turnaround. And the other thing is that there's this second line. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. And the word for obstacle is scandalon, which is literally, we would translate it as scandal. But it's literally an object in the road, like a rock in the road that you trip on. So in a few verses, he's gone from being the rock that will be the foundation of the church to being the rock in the road that Jesus trips on. And I think the difference is he becomes a rock in the road for the Lord to trip on. In other words, he becomes an impediment to the Lord's mission when he wants the Lord to receive the cross or the crown without the cross. It becomes an impediment to the mission when he wants to avoid suffering. And Jesus gives us this corrective. He says, first of all, if you're going to avoid suffering, you're a hindrance to me. You're an opposer. You're a Satan. Get behind me. Second, the Lord teaches us here that if we want to follow him, we must embrace the cross, which means a willingness to die, but also a willingness to suffer. We cannot spend all of our lives avoiding either death or suffering, or we'll never be able to do anything great for the Lord, and we'll never really be able to follow the Lord, because, you know, regardless of what those who preach the prosperity gospel teach us, really the only thing certain for us who follow the Lord and follow him closely is that we will suffer. So we have to learn to embrace the cross. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to learn to pick up our cross and follow after him. I would just like to reflect briefly. I'm trying to master the 7-minute homily. So there's this strange line, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I've always thought that was one of the stranger lines in the gospel. Not the strangest, but one of the stranger. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And we talk about him being willing to embrace the cross. So to not only to not be afraid of death, but also to not avoid suffering. This thought comes to mind. If we are afraid of suffering, if we avoid suffering, if we run from suffering, if we try to go around it, then we end up becoming a prisoner to suffering. Fear becomes our master. Right? I've often wondered, I read a lot of history, and I've often wondered when we have these, totalitarian dictatorships, how is it that these evil men can rule such vast empires of people? And the answer is simple. It's through fear. When you are afraid that somebody is going to hurt you, or when you're afraid that somebody's going to kill you, or when you're afraid that somebody's going to take something from you, you have an incredible amount of power over them. Conversely, if you encounter somebody fearless, they're very hard to control. If you encounter somebody that's not afraid of anything, that's not afraid of, that is not going to shy away from any kind of punishment you might inflict on them, is not afraid to suffer, then all you can really do with them is kill them. You can't actually manipulate their behavior. You can't control them because you control them through fear. So that's why we see, I think, for instance, a very interesting history in Poland during communist occupation is you had a lot of people in that country who simply weren't afraid of death. And therefore, they could not be controlled by power. I only have my own experience to draw from because I've only ever been one person, but I run a high school that I think we've done very good things at that high school, and I think it's a very good school, and it's a very good Catholic school. It's a good place to it's a good place for parents to send their children now, but a lot of work had to be done when we got there, and a lot of people didn't like the work that I had to do. And if I were afraid of suffering, if I were afraid of my name being used badly, if I were afraid of people being angry with me and saying bad things about me and dragging my name through the mud, and if I'd been afraid of the negative impacts that it would have had in the short run, if I would have been afraid, I would have not have done anything, right? For those of us that are afraid of the cross, we become prisoners of fear. But to those whose hope is in the Lord, those who are not afraid of even the final threat of death, because our hope is actually in the resurrection. Those of us that are willing to embrace the cross, embrace suffering for the sake of Jesus, we're free. And external limitations can be imposed upon us, but not the internal limitations, not the internal or interior slavery of fear. And so there's a really practical sense in which Jesus is speaking to here. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If we avoid the cross all of our lives, we become slaves to fear. But if we place our hope in the Lord and the resurrection, if we not only are willing to embrace the cross, but to carry it, to embrace suffering whenever it comes our way for the sake of the kingdom, then we will find freedom, and we'll find that we're able to truly live.